Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So what happens when a child who grows up in an angry home filled with abuse meets Jesus and surrenders his life to Jesus? Well, they go on to change the world. Cannot wait for you to meet my guest today, to hear his story, to be reminded that God wants to use you in ways that are totally disproportionate to who you are. Ben Peterson joins me today to talk about his story, how he met Jesus, how God is moving in the hearts of our military and veterans and their families, because Ben dared to say yes to Jesus. His work and his story are going to inspire you. I can't wait for you to meet him and hear his story. In fact, it's so interesting. You've heard when I had Maria Erickson on the show just a few weeks ago, we had a huge response to that show, and I talked about how God used her to really minister healing in my soul. And after Kev and I were leaving Maria and Scott, house, they started to talk about this young man. They're like, you've got to meet Ben. You got to get him on your show. And a few weeks later, Kevin and I see him on TV doing an interview. I'm like, I've got to talk to that guy. So I'm so grateful to get him on the show. Quick announcement, maybe you've already heard, but this summer on Faith Radio, we're doing the greatest book giveaway ever. We're gathering just all the books we've received from many ministry partners and publishers, all the extras. You know, we have hundreds. And our team separated them by genre. And this week, we're giving away book bundles that are in the genre of just spiritual growth. And so if you want in on the drawing after the show, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and enter to win. And I hope you do. All right, let me tell you about my guest. And I, like I said, typically my bios I read are pretty short because I want to get to the conversation, but I want you to know Ben's backstory. So this is a lengthy bio, but I want you to hear it. An 8-year U.S. Army veteran serving 2 years in Iraq, Ben Peterson experienced the trauma of war. The prospect of coming home left him feeling extraordinarily vulnerable. Upon arrival, Peterson and his comrades were personally welcomed home by a squad of Vietnam veterans. That day, Peterson not only lunged into the loving arms of his family, he cherished the embrace of an earlier generation who knew war's brutality. Considering Vietnam vets were largely spurned when they returned home, their show of honor and compassion left an indelible mark on Peterson as he transitioned into normal life. In 2016, Ben Peterson founded the nonprofit organization Engage Your Destiny, which is a mission to build spiritual resilience in the men and women of the United States Armed Forces by focusing on engaging active military veterans and their families through digital and in-person experiences. Engage Your Destiny's mission is to bring honor, help, and healing to those who've served. Peterson is also the visionary behind Heroes Honor Festival at the Daytona International Speedway, calling for Peterson to give Vietnam veterans the long-overdue celebration they deserve and they need. Ben, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. And we start every show every single day asking the same question. We just like to make it personal. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, it's very interesting. In this last season, as we just finished the Heroes Honor Festival, honoring our Vietnam veterans, you know, we had 35,000 people there, you know, 10 to 20,000 of them were Vietnam vets. The rest were 9/11 veterans. And you know, we preached the gospel. We got over 1,200 veterans into programs that are radically changing their lives from a discipleship and trauma healing perspective. So coming off that mountaintop, Susie, it's been a bit of a valley. And you go through a lot of the business end of ministry and wrapping things up, and then kind of a mid-crisis of, okay, God, what is next? And what am I trusting you for? And I'm great at climbing mountains, but I'm not too good at coming down. And so, you know, I've had a real faith struggle of trusting the Lord, which is so silly because of what I just watched him do, so powerfully and so radically. And this last week, there's just been all these little touch points about the resurrection of Jesus and how if we don't have the resurrection of Jesus, we have nothing. And we, if you call yourself a Christian, you know, this is not the easiest thing to believe, you know, like we believe that a man legitimately walked the face of this earth, healed people, did miracles, started a movement, with nobodies, who turned the world upside down. He was brutally murdered for his faith. And then he died and then he rose again in 3 days. That's what Christians believe. And if you are crazy and audacious enough to believe in that, my goodness, you should have the faith to believe for the impossible in this earth.
Come on.
and so that's where, like, dude, I don't shame people who have a hard time following Jesus, because it's a mighty call. And it's a lot to ask of a person. And it is also a lot to get them to ask them to believe in. Now, we know it's true. We know it, that Jesus is the most historically accurate person in the history of the world, which we could spend a whole hour unpacking that validity. But the most important thing is that if we're going to look at this historically accurate man, we have to believe the whole thing or we believe none of it. Mm. And that's where we as Christians have got to, man, we got to pick up our britches, man. We got to throw our combat boots on, and we need to have faith, because we believe in some pretty crazy things, and it's time to believe in a pretty crazy God.
Somebody got to text me an amen. I'm asking for an amen right now. Amen, amen. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. You're talking my language. So, wow, I appreciate that so much. Well, give us a little backstory on your growing up years.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, right outside of Minneapolis. I grew up probably, maybe 10 miles away from where George Floyd was killed. And so I've watched our city change a lot, and go through some devastating and very hard times. But I grew up, I was an only child. My parents were told they were classified or diagnosed with infertility. And they were told that they couldn't have kids. And one rainy night in Hawaii, man, something worked.
Wow.
and I came along, and they couldn't have any kids after that. But I grew up, my dad had a lot of very intense issues. He was a pastor's kid, and my grandfather beat my dad very regularly. Mm. So he was going to church and hearing the gospel, and my grandfather pray for people and all that kind of stuff. And then, later that night or the next day, he'd throw him into a closet and whip him, like very, very abusive. So my dad, for good reason, he battled obsessive compulsive disorder. He battled, having many fits of rage because of that obsessive compulsive disorder. He had he had a mental breakdown when I was in basic training. He was addicted to many prescription medications and alcohol. So I grew up in a very emotionally abusive house of just 3 to 4 hour screaming fits of rage. And I will say, though, my dad, he went to a Promise Keepers conference and he committed to the Lord that he'd never physically harm me. Mm-hmm. And he never did. And so I'll always honor him for breaking that generational line, if you will. Wow. So
and
then,
were,
yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. You were also bullied in school. Is that right?
Yeah, that was hard. I was not, people see me today and, I've been in the military and like to work out and things, and they would never know that. I was pretty chubby growing up, and I dealt with a lot of rejection from women. I couldn't seem to, find any traction there. And so, I resulted to food, resulted to pornography, just trying to feel loved, and then growing up in that home of just so much rage and anger and fighting. And then going to school, I wasn't in very good shape, and, I went to a big hockey school. And so I got beat on pretty good. And, that was a really challenging time. And I think that's why I really wanted to join the military, because I wanted to fight back. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to, I wanted to make a difference.
And you wanted to be in the special forces, right?
I did. I had the opportunity, and then I failed the colorblind test. So that was fun. and I lost that opportunity. And the only job that they would give me was a chaplain assistant position, which basically means you're the bodyguard of the chaplain and you're his ministry assistant. And
you're still in places of danger, because he's going into the war-torn area. So you're going with him to keep him alive, because he doesn't have a weapon, right?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, the greatest responsibility of the chaplain assistant is to keep the chaplain alive. And so you're his personal security detail, and you're moving with him throughout the country, no matter where you go, to make sure he stays safe.
Wow.
So big role.
Let's pause here. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened just days into your assignment and also what you were doing with that anger as you, you know, you became disciplined, you became fit for battle, but the anger was still there. We're going to just talk about what happened after that. Talking to Ben Peterson, he is the founder, CEO of Engage Your Destiny. This story is absolutely amazing. If you've got questions, you can text him in now, 877-933-2484. More with Ben Peterson in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a great conversation with Ben Peterson, and we're at the point of his story. So he grew up in a troubled house, just his dad dealt with some anger because his own dad endured abuse at the hands of his pastor father. So there was rage in his dad's heart, and he never laid a hand on Ben, but he did rage at him. And then Ben was bullied in school, and he wanted to engage in the military and just learn how to take his stand and even fight back and deal with some of the anger, wanted a place to vent some of the anger he was dealing with. But because of colorblindness, they were looking at him for special forces. He had all the physical ability for that, but the colorblindness made him they put him in a position of chaplain assistant, where he was the bodyguard for the chaplain going into very dangerous areas. And Ben, here you've got this rage that you've kind of stuffed down. You've got focus and discipline. You've got your assignment. And I don't know if it was a days in or a week or two in to your assignment. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so it was 6 days into our tour, and one of our helicopters went down and seven of my guys were killed. And that was a devastating experience. One of the guys that was on there by the name of Anthony, he was not supposed to be on the flight that night. He actually was supposed to be on a different chalk. And one of the other sergeants hadn't had a night off on our train up in Kuwait. And, you know, Anthony said, "Hey, you know, I'll take your place tonight. You get a good night's sleep." Mm. And, you know, he was killed that night. And so, you know, you get trained and prepared for a lot in combat, but nothing prepares you for the loss of life. And, you know, we did the memorial service. My chaplain counseled dozens of soldiers in a few short days' time. And then, you know, we did the service, and the next day it was like it never happened, because we had a war to fight and we were a combat aviation brigade. So we basically flew gunship missions, rides in between bases, and medevacs. So, you know, ground units are getting blown up. They're calling us in. You know, they're also getting hit, and they're calling in gunships. People got to move between bases. And so you got to keep moving, and there's no time to grieve. And so all of that pain and confusion and sadness, I mean, everything you can imagine just gets stuffed down, and you got to get back to work.
Wow. And then you also had, I think it was several months later, there was a suicide bomber incident.
Yeah, it was a Shiite Sunni thing, where a, you know, suicide bomber blew up a school right outside of our base. And, you know, dozens of kids were killed. Many more were injured. And our base basically went out, risked their lives to get those kids that were still alive and bring them on, you know, to our base hospital to help them. And I was in the, hospital, you know, after they'd gotten there. And, you know, I saw children in ways that you can't imagine, and things that, you know, humanity just shouldn't become and shouldn't see, and that really scarred me. That really scarred me.
I'm just so sorry that you had to walk through that. And we'll talk about what your homecoming was like in a moment, but jumping ahead to after you got home, you said you started to have nightmares and tremors. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of my testimony. I came home. And it was a few weeks after I'd gotten home, I began having very severe nightmares that I was killing kids. And I'd be crying out to Jesus. I'd be crying out for help. And, you know, I felt like I couldn't get out of it. And, you know, I'd wake up pouring sweat, just a mess, you know? And I was trying to find my way out of this. And, you know, I was a Christian. I love Jesus. And Scott and Maria, who you mentioned, you know, on the, earlier in the podcast, they were discipling me and I was so lost and started running back to bars and, you know, trying to find some relief from all this. And so, you know, not only do I have the shame of the dreams and everything's happening in my dreams, but I'm also a follower of Jesus and I'm going out and getting drunk. So I'm in like a shame spiral, you know, that I felt like I couldn't get out of. And one night I got home at about 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm convinced that the devil was just trying to kill me because I was feeling very determined to end my life that night. And very, very lost. And I remember feeling so scared of what I was capable of. I called my mentor for help. And Scott, who you met, he answered the phone and you know, I was just crying and you know, saying, why? You know, why did this happen and why did they die and why is all this going on? And he basically began to unpack this generational truth that has radically changed my life and has changed anyone who's truly grabbed a hold of it, in that when the disciples were following Jesus, they, you know, they were in with this guy who could do all the miracles, right? Mm-hmm. Like they didn't understand that he was going to die for their sins. That didn't make any sense. So they're in with the dude. They're in like Flynn, and then all of a sudden this hero, the man that they're looking up to, the person they're looking to be a earthly savior of their oppression from Rome, gets murdered like a coward and goes and just dies, you know, like he just gives himself up to be tortured and murdered. And so in that moment when Jesus was dead, and in the grave, Scott said, that's where you are. The disciples didn't understand why they were going through what they went through, but what was happening beneath that pain was the greatest victory the world had ever known in Jesus dying for our sins. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't see it. But a resurrection day was coming 3 days later, and Jesus rose from the dead, and they knew why they went through what they went through, why they suffered so much pain. And Scott said to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have a resurrection day, and you're going to know why you went through what you went through. You just have to trust Jesus. Mm.
Praise God. Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord for mentors you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. And let's back up to when you came home and you came off the bus, what you experienced.
Yeah. You know, it was a time when there were basically people that were showing up at Iraq veteran funerals and were protesting the war. Mm-hmm. So you have to imagine families are mourning the death of their sons and protesters are showing up to shame them. And overnight there was this beautiful movement of Vietnam veterans that basically rose up and said, never again are we going to allow what happened to us, the way we were shamed, continue to happen to this generation. And they squashed it. And then there was just this movement of honor of Vietnam veterans showing up at, you know, the homecomings of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. So, you know, when I got off the bus, the first thing I saw is 100 Vietnam veterans lined up shoulder to shoulder, holding the American flag and guarding my welcome home. Oh man. And I'm looking in the eyes of guys that were called baby killers, were spit on, had trash thrown on them. I mean, you know, we've been in this work for a few years now, and the stories we have heard will make your hair stand on end of how horrible these men were treated. They were treated like scum, and then everyone wanted to forget about them and no one wanted to help them. And so
you'd said during one of your interviews that I'd watched that because of that, there are just countless vets who've not admitted that they were vets. So they fought for our country but they couldn't mm-hmm. even admit it. So they've lived the rest of their adult life with keeping that under wraps with all this trauma buried too, right?
Yeah. The majority of them did not reveal they were Vietnam vets until after 9/11. So almost 30 years, 30, 40 years of shame.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Through the prime years of their life, their 30s and 40s and 50s.
And you know, we talk often about trauma on this show and inner healing because Jesus is about, he's not only about our salvation, he is about the human condition. I know that. He cares so deeply to restore our soul, you know, to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. And what God is doing through you now is just, to me, a marvel. You know, one of the stories you tell is you were helping care for your dad. I think he was dying of cancer. And you had a vision. God gave you a vision. I think it was in the living room of your dad. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Pops was passing away, and, you know, the Lord is so beautiful and gracious, because he took that time of my dad dying and really healed our relationship. And my dad really softened when he was dying of cancer, and we were able to truly reconcile, you know. And I can honestly say I miss my dad, which if he would have died earlier, I would have never said that, you know. So the Lord is really good. But I was at home and walking through the living room, and I just saw this vision of a massive stadium filled with tens of thousands of Vietnam veterans. And they were surrounded by younger veterans and younger people and family members, and tears were just streaming down their faces because they were healing and being welcomed home. And it's just one of those moments where you know, presence of God, and you weep, and you have an encounter with the Lord, and you're like, man, I've just been shown something. And then we did it.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, when you started this ministry, you had COVID, so you had to pivot and do online things, which was kind of amazing. We're going to talk about that event after the break here in a couple minutes. But when COVID hit, you had to move to kind of digital discipleship and chapel services. But you had all these chaplains in the military who were being asked to do all these services, and you were able to provide that for them. Say a word about that.
Yeah, we really found our niche before doing the big festival with just doing events on bases and leading soldiers to Christ. So we've seen thousands of soldiers come to Christ on bases across America, gotten them into Bible studies and all that, and then with crew, military. And then, you know, COVID hit, and so we pivoted and went online. We started making content, and I'd say the coolest thing that came of that season, we had rangers in Afghanistan that were watching our weekly sermons, getting discipled under them, and an entire battalion of rangers. And so that was like, man, Lord, you're really doing something cool. So, you know, we'll never know the fruit of that. We had hundreds of thousands of views on our stuff, and, you know, and someday in heaven, we'll find out what God did with all that. So,
indeed. And I want you to imagine, we're going to talk about this event on the other side of the break, but I want you to imagine tens of thousands of veterans and their families, you know, being counted, and then coming forward to get ministry, and where the Holy Spirit is ministering to their trauma and their injustice and their loss and their hurt. I mean, just try to imagine that, because through, you know, Ben's obedience and yes, and God, power of God's Spirit, they pulled that thing off. And what did you say? There were 35,000 at the most recent gathering. I know Maria Erickson went with some other friends of prayer ministry people that were just praying constantly. Did you have 35,000, something like that?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, absolutely amazing. And you made me feel old when you say ma'am, so you can just say... You can say whatever, well, I guess.
I'm a military guy.
You're so polite. That's right. I'm sitting up straighter talking to you. I'll just tell you that right now. All right. Amen. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mentorship. We're going to talk about this event. We're going to talk about some stories of military and veterans who God is healing and redeeming. He's reaching down from on high and getting a hold of them and putting a new song in their heart. I want you to be inspired, because God wants to work through your pain, your trauma, and use you to help a world in need. More with Ben Peterson in just a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Do you believe we serve a God of miracles? He's the same God, the God of today, yesterday, always, and forever. Talking to Ben Peterson, he's a former military founder of Engage Your Destiny. And it's an amazing, amazing ministry that reaches to veterans, their families, current military, and their families with a love of Jesus Christ, for that they would know the hope of their salvation, but also that they could be healed from a lot of the trauma that they've seen and not even had permission to engage in and talk about. And one of the things in one of your interviews that I watched that you said was interesting, that helplessness produces rage. I want to do a whole show on anger. I'm going to do that someday, but I think it's such an important topic to address. But say a word more about that helplessness produces rage.
Yeah. In its most simple form, if you take my story where I'm looking into the eyes of a little girl who has been wounded from a bomb and her face has, you know, been wounded. There is nothing I can do for her. Nothing. I'm a chaplain's assistant. I do ministry. I support a chaplain. I go around with, you know, guns and ammo and make sure he's safe. And for that little girl, there's nothing I can do for her. When my seven guys got killed, there was nothing I could do for them. Nothing I could do for the families. I could support some of the guys that, you know, were devastated, that worked on those teams. I could be there for them. But again, helplessness. And helplessness puts us in a place, of such incredible, anger and rage, because, I believe that we were designed to be protectors, and to, actually intervene in people's lives, and that we're made in the image of Christ. Jesus is a savior. We are not the savior, but when you are in combat and you need help, you call your buddies to come rescue you and save you. Does that make sense?
So much.
When people are suffering, there's a reason why people run into burning buildings. There's a reason why when shooters come up, there's people that come up, Good Samaritans, to rescue them, because we have a saving mentality in us to come in and rescue folks who are in pain. And when you are in the face of such incredible pain and trauma, and there's absolutely nothing you can do, it produces a rage in you because you're not able to expel or produce any of that energy that is in you where you want to live out your God-given gifts of saving or rescuing. Does that make sense?
So much. You know, I'm trying to think of this juxtaposition for you coming home and really needing healing, because you lost friends and you saw children devastated by a suicide bomber, and yet the enemy takes that and gives you these trauma dreams like you're the one doing that to them. Yep. When you're the one trying to care for them in the hospital. I mean, that's so like him. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking of that night, you know, you've been going to the bars and you want to end it and you have a gun and you're like, I remember you said, I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to live. And, mm-hmm. you know, you could just see that the enemy had you in his crosshairs. But now it seems like you have the enemy in your crosshairs. I mean, I really feel like that you really are going, you know, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live, and I'm going to help others live mm-hmm. too. But how, you know, there's something in Isaiah, I think it's 58, but I don't remember, but it talks about when you help loosen the bonds of others, when you help others get free, something heals within you. I'd love for you to talk about how your healing took place, but then what you're seeing with like this Heroes Honors Festival and mentoring and all these things. Tell me a little bit about the healing that you're seeing as well. But first, let's talk about you.
Yeah. One other element that, that is at the root of anger and rage, and it's fear.
Yeah.
All anger and rage is fear-based. And when you are afraid of something, you're either going to take that anger and that rage and you're going to turn it inward, and it's going to go into a form of depression. Depression is just anger aimed inside at you, mm-hmm. or, it's going to be shot out at somebody else. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're struggling with a rage, you're struggling with an anger, you know, for my dad, he was terrified of getting beaten by his father, and he mm-hmm. was terrified of doing things that would, anger or hurt his father, right? So then when he grows up, he has that mentality, I have to do everything perfectly because I am terrified of doing something wrong. And when you think like that and you live like that, it produces an anger in you, which is completely fear-based, and fear is not based in love. And love casts out all fear. And so the true antidote to healing from anger, healing from rage, one is to let the love of Jesus and the forgiveness that Jesus gives to anything you've gone through come into your past. And that's a healing work that, you know, I think all humans need to do, with a counselor. And, you know, counseling has become such a normal thing, which I just love, because the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Right. And so we need people to walk through life with us, instead of trying to hero it on our own, which just does not work. We're designed mm-hmm. to be in a tribe. We're designed to be in community. And right now, America is, they did a study in like 2012, and they found that they studied like 180 different countries on their individualism and community and all that kind of stuff. And America took the gold prize many, many times to be the most individualistic nation in the world. Have mercy, 100%. And so when it comes to veterans that are coming home from combat, they have left their tribe, they have left what they know, they've left what truly is, you know, their heritage, and they enter into the most individualistic culture in the world. And so do you want to heal mental health? Do you want to heal suicide? Do you want to heal all these issues? We need to heal the individualism in this nation. And technology, phones, social media, all those things individualize us. They don't bring us together. They set us apart. And so if you're listening to this podcast and you are truly dealing with anger, with rage, with helplessness, there's an area that Jesus wants to come in and he wants to heal with his amazing love. But you also, if you're dealing with some of these different other areas of mental health and suicidal thoughts or whatever, you need to get into a community. You need to get with a group of people who are like you. You are not alone. And the more you isolate yourself, the more you're going to get taken out.
Boy, amen, amen. Appreciate that so much. And what I love about your ministry, Engage Your Destiny, is you do the 30,000 foot view or the 35,000, you know, person gathering, and then you do these close up mentorships, small groups, and those kinds of things. I would love to know maybe just some stories as you've provided just opportunities for these men and women and families to find ministry and validation. And even I'm sure it's just radical for them to learn the love of Jesus, that he was not a passive, you know, meek and mild, you know, he had grit, he had backbone, and he knew what he was doing when he went to the cross. I mean, I've got to be, think that that would bring an awakening to their hearts.
Mm-hmm. You know, Heroes Honor Festival was obeying a vision. And I remember in 2020, as COVID was getting ramped up, the Lord said to me, I gave you a vision and I expect you to do it. The Lord talks very, very bluntly with me. you know, my sheep hear my voice. He knows how to speak to this sheep. So, I expect you to do it. And so, we ended up, cold calling the Speedway. And I'll tell you, Susie, it was the most incredible experience, from the entry-level sales gal that we talked to the C-suite decision maker. Every one of them was related to a Vietnam veteran.
From meeting to meeting,
there'd be tears of folks saying, how can I, my daddy served in Vietnam. How can I help make this happen? My brother served in Vietnam. How can I make this happen? My dad is a Vietnam veteran. We need to make this happen. And it was just the hand of the Lord through obedience of how we're going to go about doing this event. And so, you know, we went through that process, and then, you know, there weren't a lot of organizations calling the Speedway wanting to do an event in 2020. Which was also the Lord's will, because if we'd have called, I mean, NASCAR, the Daytona Speedway is the most iconic speedway in the world. You know, if it had been a normal year and we called them, they wouldn't have given us the time of day, but no one wanted to do events in 2020. And that's how we got attention, you know, and that's how we got the opportunity to host our event there, which opened so many doors with NASCAR, with PR, with getting sponsors like Toyota and Humana and Harley Davidson. And it was just God's favor. And in every one of those meetings, I did not shy away that we're Jesus followers. We want to love on these veterans. We want to get them into programs. And we never shied away from who we were. Even when we met with Woke Coke, you know, Coca-Cola, I said, this is the vision God gave me, you know, and said, we're followers of Jesus. And we want to love on these guys. Obviously they didn't sponsor, but we still told them what was up.
Yeah. Wow, good for you.
But man, so then we got, you know, into the event, and, I went out front the day of the event, and I mean, I probably shook 3,000 hands that morning of Vietnam veterans as they were coming in in single file. I'd say probably 20% of them, they would go to shake my hand and say thank you, and they would just choke up. They couldn't communicate what this meant to them. And they were just there by the thousands, and everyone was with a spouse. Everyone had a spouse. So then, you know, we got into the event, and it was just this, you know, massive arena of healing and, congregating and reunion. We had a big reunion area, and veterans were just reuniting and finding each other and then getting into the program. And man, you know, it was like 98 degrees and, you know, Florida heat. And I'll tell you, man, those Vietnam vets, they got their spots and they did not move. Like, they were not going to miss a speaker. They were not going to miss anything. And, you know, the Lord really gave me a clear vision on this that, you know, forgive me for being crude, but If you want to have an event to reach sinners, I wouldn't recommend having Hillsong come and do your music. Christians go to Hillsong concerts, not sinners. So that's where we were like, well, why don't we have music that's not anti-God, that's not going to, you know, like defy God, but that is going to draw people that are lost. So we went with country music. We had Craig Morgan, Justin Moore, Toby Keith play music for us. We had the governor there. We had Oliver North, General Jerry Boykin. We had Ann Margaret make an appearance. So just this incredible group of folks that, and I was backstage with Toby Keith with his team, and they were leading out a prayer with the whole band and everybody praying for the families that were there, you know?
Wow.
So it's like, man, Christians don't need, we can't be afraid to go into the world, you know?
No, we've got to go in the world. But how did you, I mean, I know you had some sponsorship, but how did you start out, like, funding wise? And how did those, I mean, I know it was God who opened the doors, but truly getting a vision in your dad's living room while he's dying of cancer of a massive gathering for vets and their families and actually doing it. How did that happen? You know, did you get some funding up ahead, and how did that, I'm dumbfounded. It's amazing.
You know, I just, I come from sales. Everyone in my family is a salesperson. My Nana, she died at 101. And, that morning she died around noon having soup. And that morning she was on the phone with her sales team, for a company she'd been with for 60 years. So sales is in our blood. And, you know, when I got into UID and started getting off the ground, you know, I realized that, you know, if you want to make a nonprofit go, you need to raise money. If you're not going to raise money, you're not going to do anything. So I've been mentored by some incredible people that taught me how to raise money, how to build genuine relationships. And it takes time, you know? And so, you know, over the last 6 years coming up to this event, you know, I've been well discipled and well trained in how to raise money for, you know, for an event like this. And so God opened some pretty crazy doors and favor with some folks that had the bandwidth to make some significant gifts. And God just met our needs every step of the way.
What did your lineup, you know, artists and everybody that was involved from the stage, what was their perspective on this event?
I mean, they were really thankful to be a part of it. I remember I was talking to Oliver North backstage and he was like, this is the best idea I've ever seen. He just loved it because it was kind of like, you know, have an event, honor Vietnam vets, make it cool. Don't be a typical military event that's lame, because they're all lame, you know, make it super cool, have the flash factor and bring the gospel and do it right. You know? So Ollie loved that. And I think folks were just thankful to be a part of it, you know, for our country, for our veterans. And, you know, every person that took that stage came through a relationship. I didn't have relationships with any of those people, with the governor, DeSantis, like any of that. It was just people, you know, so people believed in it. And I just give so much credit to God's vision. Like, and I was the steward of that vision. So I'd share that vision. This is what God showed me to do. And if it pulled on someone's heart, they believed it was God's vision, not mine. And they were believing God. They weren't believing me. And so I think that that's what made it successful and made it, because just the credit kept going back to God for the vision.
Boy, it's so powerful. We're going to pause here for our last break. When we come back, I want you to just share, you know, as a military man, as a Christ follower, as a husband, a father, I think you're a father. Don't you have a little one?
Yeah, 7-month old. Who doesn't sleep?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I do remember those days, but I'd love to know your perspective, your take on what's happening in our nation today, and what do you think the Lord is asking of us, and even more just vision for where you're going from here. You'd mentioned at the open of the show, after coming off of such a profound event, walking down into the valley, which is such a typical thing when you've had so much output, you know, it seems like that's when the enemy tries to go after and level discouragement. But let's dream together about what God wants to do in and through you next. Powerful conversation with Ben Peterson. Had some people texting going, please get this guy back. I want to hear more from him. And I want to tell you, he's just awesome to watch too. So you go on YouTube and just search Ben Peterson, Engage Your Destiny. You'll see a number of interviews and powerful, powerful stuff. More with Ben in just a moment. With all the bad news out there, It's good to remember the good news to get some encouragement every single day. Well, if you need a word of encouragement, we would love to connect with you on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're even on YouTube. You know, we're creating encouraging posts every single day to help you focus on what really matters, to lift your chin, to help you remember that you belong to God and He loves you and He's committed to you. You'll find graphics, you'll find featured Bible verses, quotes from hosts and from our shows, articles about the topics you're interested in, as well as videos from all of our hosts. You can search Faith Radio on social media and find us today. We'd love to connect with you. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Ben Peterson. He's former military, founder, CEO of the ministry Engage Your Destiny, where he reaches veterans, their families, current military, their families with a love of Jesus Christ. And there's so many aspects to this ministry. He hosted a major event in Florida at the Speedway. 35,000 veterans and their families gathered together, superstar lineup, really just giving them an opportunity to be ministered to be validated, to be prayed for, and some real ministry happened. I would love just even a close-up look, Ben, at some of these stories that you've heard from Vietnam vets when they started to find some healing all these years later. Could you tell any story like that?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a super easy one because it's so fun. So, I live in Tennessee. I used to live in Minnesota, but I decided to go where there's a little more freedom. And I got to know this group of Vietnam vets that meet every Thursday at Cracker Barrel. And almost all of them came down to Heroes Honor. When I first started visiting with these guys, there was this guy named John. And guy just looked pissed off all the time. Just walked around just angry. And I remember sitting across from him one time, and he looked like he was just going to chew my head off, you know. And I started talking to him, and, "Hey, John, where are you from?" And he wasn't too talkative, and I just kept kind of poking, and then talked to another vet, and then John, he overheard me talking to another vet about like my time in combat, and he realized, you know, I was a vet, and he started kind of telling me stuff, and then he told me the story of, when he got trash thrown on him when he came home from Vietnam. And then he, you know, talked a little bit about like drinking and all the pain in his body and how much pain he's been in, and he walks in chronic pain. And he looked at me, and he, like, when breakfast finished, he looked at me and he said, "Ben, I've said more to you than I've ever said to my wife in 50 years about my time in Vietnam." And I was like, "Wow, thanks." Like, what do you say? You know, like, right. Wow, man, that's a lot, you know? And so we do the event, and it got rained out on Friday, and we were like, we had to cancel it before the doors opened, but some people still got in. And I'm going through, and who do I see walking through the rain but John, just looking so mad. And I'm like, oh no, I'm ruining this guy's life, right? I got him to come down to Florida, and now we just got rained out on Friday. So anyways, we were able to move everything on Friday to Saturday. We had the event. I didn't see John or anybody. And then I went to Cracker Barrel the week after the event. And I walked in, man, and I saw John, and he just saw the biggest smile. It was the first time I'd ever seen him smile. Wow. And he just said, "Ben," and he came and he hugged me. Oh. And I was like, "John, how you doing?" And he looked at me just dead in my eyes, and he said, "Ben, I am finally going to be able to heal.
Wow.
Not only in my physical body, but in my heart." And he just hugged me and said, "Thank you." And like, man, that you multiply that times thousands. Like, we got so many messages and emails from wives and spouses saying, "My husband opened up to me for the first time in 50 years. And like, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was beyond what you could have imagined. Like, you chase after a vision and you have so much doubt. Is it going to work? And that was my greatest fear. Is this going to work? You know, are we going to hurt people in the process? And when you get on the other side and you're like, man, it actually worked. It actually did what God said it was going to do. That's where it's at right there.
Wow. Wow, praise God. And I'm so grateful that you persevered, Ben. I mean, the kind of courage and grit, especially in a day when we're in an upside down society. And I don't mean this to be a loaded question. I know it is, but I'll trust that Lord will lead you to answer however you're supposed to. But, you know, this day that we're in as a believer and as a person who's got so much honor, what is your take on what's happening? And what do you sense the Lord is saying? Like, if you could get all the Christians together, what would you want to charge us with? What would you say?
Sure. Well, the last thing I would talk about is ranting about all the things that are going wrong, because we have too much of that. Christians need to spend less time complaining about everything happening, and they need to spend more time focusing on what God has called them to. And that's where I believe this is what I would say. We have a fundamental problem and misunderstanding of the gospel in America. If you ask an average Christian what the gospel is, they will say, Jesus died for my sins so I could go to heaven. That is the wrong answer. That is so wrong. It is heretically corrupt. The answer of the gospel is that I am a broken, wretched sinner who is worthy of the wrath of God and to spend eternity in hell. And Jesus died on the cross for my sins and everything that I've ever done wrong so that I could spend eternity in heaven. But before that, I could be used by him to share and show his love to the world.
Hallelujah.
The gospel is designed by the Heavenly Father, not just to save your sins, but to change the world.
Come on. Amen.
And in America, we are so consumer-minded, it makes me want to throw up. Mm-hmm. And we're so focused on ourselves, it is actually what is killing us.
Yeah.
And so if we can get it into our hearts and our minds that you are legitimately here to change the world and that you are a revolutionary, you are a revivalist, you are someone who can change your sphere of influence no matter how mighty it is. I had no sphere of influence, but I believed in a vision that God gave me. And so we have to change our view of the gospel. Instead of a consumer mindset that is just about you and your sins, great, box checked, moving on. It's time to engage on the destiny that God has called us to, because that is the fullness of the gospel. And my tremendous fear for this nation is that the majority of the people think that they're saved and they think they know the entire gospel and they don't. And I can't say this, that this is God or it's not, but my fear is that they will stand before God and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you never fully entrusted the gospel in your life.
Wow. Amen. Amen. I couldn't have said it better. And I'm wondering, first, what do you know about God now that you didn't even know 5 years ago?
I mean, honestly, that, you know, I would say my view of God 5 years ago is that he's this extremely gracious, loving father, which, don't get me wrong, he is, but he's also, he's a father that is very willing to make you suffer so that his glory can come on the earth. Mm. A loving father is willing to break you of your pride. A willing father is willing to let you suffer so that all of your flesh will die and you will go fulfill your destiny. A loving father says no to you. A loving father governs your energy and your time. A loving father closes doors. And I think the way that we view God is the health, wealth, and prosperity, but we don't see him as a loving father that is going to put you through very difficult things. And that actually is his love, because he knows. For example, coming out of Heroes Honor Festival, I'll be totally transparent. My pride was soaring a little high. I was feeling pretty good about myself. Then I got out. We had so much going on with finances and the ministry and like all these challenges. And oh man, I got so humbled with those circumstances. Why? Because God loves me and he will make me suffer so that his will can be done and he can keep me on my knees.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. I'm praying that you'll come back. I've got so many texts coming in saying, please bring him back. I needed to hear this today. They're saying, thank you, Ben, for your service. And I was hoping to have you pray for vision for our people, but we are right up to the out. But I pray, Ben, please come back and let's talk some more. Thank you for what you do. And if friends want to find your ministry, it's engageyourdestiny. Is it .com?
.com, ma'am. Yes. And I'll come back and I'll preach. I'll speak on the warrior spirit. That'll be
all right. Let's do it. We'll talk about the warrior spirit. Angie, I hope you're listening. We're getting Ben back to talk about that's like, man, you're speaking my love language. Thank you for your time and for your service and the way that you're serving God, Ben. We sure love and appreciate you.
Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Engage Your Destiny. Ben Peterson is my guest today. And I ask you, since we ran out of time, I'm asking you to ask the Lord, give me a vision like what you gave Ben. Give me an audacious vision and the faith and the grit to go after it and to trust the Lord to bring it to fruition. God needs your influence. The world needs your influence. So trust him, dream big with him, and then step out because of faith in him. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.